Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, 35. The first word used here is Yama, Yama Adibihi. That means this refers to the Eightfold Yoga process. Yama Adibi, Yoga Patai. Yama means, as Prabhupada has translated it, self-restraint. Yama, Niyama, then one has to follow different rules and regulations. So like this, there are eight processes. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. There are eight different processes in the yoga system, beginning with self-restraint, so that karma and lobha, two very closely related lower desires, or lower tendencies, karma itself means desire, and lobha is very close to karma. Karma means desire, but karma then tends to refer to a particular, either it refers to the general nature of desire, or it refers to a particular desire that comes, you see something, yes, I desire. But lobha means it's more of an ongoing tendency to desire everything. I should have more and more and more. So lobha is the chronic state of karma, we could say. There may be one single desire, but even one single desire, that Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, even one single desire that can make you fall away from spiritual life if it's indulged in. Prabhupada here in the purport gives the example of Vishwamitra. He was not cultivating karma or lobha, but just that one desire came up in his heart upon hearing the ankle bells of Menaka, and he was finished. So what to speak of? Actually not finished, but for the time being his yoga practice was stopped. Lobha means that when one is cultivating the attitude of karma, then one will become greedy to have more and more things. So calm comes first. That we see in the analysis of fall down given by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Dhyayato vishanthusam sangate shupajayate. Sangat sanjayate karma. So in the beginning one desires, the desires come for sense objects. And that is the, that leads to, in calm, and here in this verse, karma krodho vijayate, Lord Krishna mentions that from calm comes krodh, but actually from calm comes calm, krodh, lobha, moha, mada, matsai, all the different tendencies which entangle one in material life. Therefore, in actually civilized life, there is the endeavor to karma, lobha, hata, mohu. Here it's mentioned here. There's the endeavor to, endeavor means ongoing endeavor, mohu, always, to curb these lower tendencies. That is human civilization. Not to indulge in tendencies that drag us into animal-like life. In modern society, it's just the opposite. Someone who is expert in indulging in calm and krodh and lobha, they are considered more advanced. The whole society is running on that principle, but actually we find even in America, there are many people, just like they indulge in all kinds of grossly sinful activities. They especially if men who indulge in lots of sex and adultery and visiting prostitutes and all that, many times they're doing it, but actually inside they feel disgusted with themselves. I saw one tale, one anecdote was narrated. One book distributor in Canada or America somewhere, I think it's in Canada. So he met one man with his wife on the street. Of course, in the West you can never tell. It might be someone else's wife. So the devotee showed him one book. And the man said to him, "Actually, I'm a very bad man. I feel disgusted with myself. I'm always, I'm going with so many different women, and drinking, and smoking, and so many bad things." No, actually, it was two men that were together. One man said like that. Two men together. I said, "Give me this book. I need something to change my life." He was saying like that. So even, you see, the whole society, no one's telling him you have to change your life. They're telling him, yes, eat, drink, sleep, be merry and enjoy, for tomorrow we shall all be dead. But many times, people, if they have a little bit of a good tendency in their heart, then they'll feel disgusted with it. Because actually it's disgusting. It's jnanam avritya dehinam, that's described in Bhagavad Gita, lust. That covers the intelligence, that covers the intrinsic knowledge of the soul that I am an eternal servant of Krishna. So if anyone has, it may be very covered and deep, that consciousness becomes very much covered over that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. The more we engage in lust and activities which are meant for enjoying the senses, the more we indulge in that, then the more that consciousness becomes covered. But it never becomes fully covered over. Especially in the human form of life, there's the opportunity that is the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, in other forms of life, it's not possible. But mostly people, they're spoiling their lives by indulging in sense gratification. But it may be that some people who are grossly engaged in sense gratification, that they can also become devotees. There are many cases that Prabhupada used to quote Yamuna Acharya. Yadavati mama cheta krishna padara vinde navanavarasa dhaman dhamadya untam antam rasit tadavati bata nari sangame smaryamane Bhavati shushtu nishtivanam cha. He said that, quoting Yamuna Acharya, that since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna and experiencing at every moment the nectar of Krishna's devotional service, then sometimes in my mind it comes, the thought of how I previously used to enjoy so much with women, because he was a king and a very licentious king. Licentious, do you know what that means? It means he took a license to do so many things which he shouldn't do. It means he was very lusty. And lusty is one thing, but to engage that lust in enjoying so many women, that's very simple. So he would remember sometimes, "Oh, I used to do. Bhavati mukha vikaru sushtu nishtivanam cha. Oh, I used to do so many bad things." And then you'll spit, remembering that. "Oh, I feel it. Ah, how bad that is." So that thought, "I will enjoy, let me enjoy, let me indulge my senses." It may seem as if it gives pleasure, but actually it's disgusted. The person who indulges in that, especially if he has higher knowledge, then he feels disgusted. Oh, what am I doing? Such a bad thing. I remember one of my godbrothers told me confidentially, I won't say his name, of course, but he told me that after he got married, and then he said, "Ah, I do so much sex." Ah, you can see he felt very disgusted with himself. So actually, this is degrading to the soul. So this Vedic culture, Prabhupada wrote in one purport, the whole system of Varnashram is meant to help us overcome these, especially sexual desire. There is, so here is mentioned kama, lobha. They all go together. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha. You won't find, if someone is unrestrained in one direction, then he won't be controlled in another direction. In other words, if someone eats meat, fish, eggs, every day he eats 10 eggs or something like this, he's not going to be a brahmachari. He's not. If you go off in one direction, then you'll go in every direction. Sometimes some of our foolish so-called devotees in ISKCON say, "Well, I go, maybe just go to the cinema," or in the West it's quite popular among some of our foolish so-called devotees. I don't know if this, many of my lectures, they're reaching out to the West, so I hope you're hearing it out there in the West also. When I go there, you can throw rotten tomatoes at me, and I don't care, because I'm speaking the truth. That you're fools if you think, we shall go to the cinema, and then we'll see, you see, how the kamis are living, and then we can relate to them better, and then we can preach better. So many excuses they make. You don't have to watch movies to know that everyone's in Maya. It's the same old story. You don't have to go to the movie, and it's kam, krodh, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. Maybe in different ways. Maybe one year the movie is dinosaur movie, and another year the movie is shark movie, and another year the movie is goats traveling out of space movie. I see all the headlines, all the advertisements. I don't go and see them, but I don't waste my time and money and energy watching them. But you don't have to go and see the movie to see how people are in Maya. You yourself will become in Maya. Even to go and watch in the first place is Maya. So then how are you going to, if you go off in one direction, then you're going to go off in other directions also. Oh, I couldn't come to Mangalati this morning. Why? I was out very late last night. What were you doing? I was watching the movie. See, it's very important. I have to watch the movie because then I can preach better. It'll help me in my Krishna consciousness. Nonsense. All nonsense. So, then everything. Then you watch that, and naturally your desire for sense gratification will increase because they didn't make the movie to help you control your mind and senses. They didn't make the movie to help you become Krishna conscious. They made the movie because they're in Maya, and they want to give some entertainment to other people who are in Maya so they can get the money out of your pocket and then they can enjoy it. It's all based, all these things are based on the principle of forgetting Krishna. They don't even know him, Krishna, to forget. They're so far away. But they want to enjoy the senses. So real life means beginning with controlling the senses. And it's a great endeavor because all the time the senses, see this, hear that, taste this. There's so many, and especially in the modern age. Actually, not only in the modern age. The material world is set up for sense gratification. It's not set up. There's a distinction. There's Vaikuntha, where the atmosphere is made for serving Krishna, and there's the material world, where everything is arranged for serving Maya. So it's not only in the modern age, but particularly in the modern age, there's strong propaganda, enjoy, 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 and especially enjoy sinfully. At least in the Varnashram culture, that in Pravritti Marg, that is within Vedic culture. That you can enjoy, but to a limit, there's some control. And along with the enjoyment, there are also activities for purification. Of course, it's very difficult to get properly purified when you're trying to enjoy sense gratification. But there are certain, just like people undergo sanskaras, and they serve in Vedic culture, one serves sadhus. So even if you're engaged in sense gratification, then if you serve actual devotees, then purification is there. It may not immediately take effect because of one's engagement in sense gratification, but it will take effect in due course of time. So, sense gratification under the rules and regulations of the Vedic culture, first of all, it's very restrictive. And then the next thing is that it's not grossly sinful. So in modern society, there's so much propaganda. Enjoy, 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 enjoy. But this, immediately this creates hellish consciousness. Someone who's engaged in this so-called enjoyment, then their consciousness just becomes hellish, and they actually like that. They sometimes like to show that, they like to show I'm very tough and nasty, and they take that as a kind of prestigious thing. I think that hasn't come to India yet. Maybe in the movies, I don't know. But it's very much part of the Western way of life, especially in... of course, I don't know how far we should get into this. It's a kind of anthropological observation. But you'll find, especially in the countries which are most dominating the world and dominating the media, that's England and America, actually, these two countries, it's very much part of the culture, be nasty, be tough. Show out, and you see like this George Bush guy, okay, we're in charge here, blow you to pieces, we're coming in to help you, I'm just going to kill you, because you're better dead. So, this is our mercy upon you. So that, the nastiness, sometimes that's taken as a kind of, if you can be nasty and tough and mean, that's considered, yeah, that's very good. Very uncultured, actually. I mean, sometimes there may be a need for that, just like if you're in the army or something like that. You're fighting a war, then it's not, you don't be nice to people when you're fighting a war. But in ordinary life, the tendency should be to be sweet in dealing. But they've made a whole culture just like this. How to outdo others. How to show yourself better than others. Very demoniac culture. So this Vedic culture is meant for self-control. That is considered high class. If someone is self-controlled. Nowadays, because always in India that consciousness is there, high class. Who is high class, who is low class? So previously that used to be who is high class, who is low class, means according to caste. And still low class are considered, cham or bangi, they're considered very low class. But more nowadays according to if you have money. If someone has money, they're considered high class. And generally the people with money, they're drinking, they're smoking, they're fornicating, they're eating meat, they have a big car, nice house, very high class. They measure only in terms of money. But in Vedic culture, high class means who can control the senses. That's considered high class. That's why the brahmana, they would live in a little hut. But the king, who has got so much money, would come to see him and bow down before him. Because he knows, I have got so much money, I have got so much military power, but this person is superior to me. Because I'm indulging in sense enjoyment, and he is controlling the senses. That is the difference. So this is the purpose of Vedic culture, to control the senses. And this process particularly has been mentioned by Narad Muni, the yoga patha, the yoga, the path of yoga. It's the same word, patha, path. It's the same word in English. So this is mentioned because this is the, sometimes it's called Raja Yoga, the king of all the yoga systems, because this is the extreme system for controlling the senses. There are other systems of yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga. Of course, this hatha yoga is included within jnana yoga. But this is hatha yoga or ashtanga yoga. That is a very specific process for taking the senses and taking them very strongly, controlling. Very strong determination. You have to sit and do your meditation and control the senses. Very strict about eating, about sleeping, performing austerities. This yoga system is the hardcore system for becoming self-controlled. If you're just like really very, very serious about self-control, then you have to take to this Ashtanga Yoga. It would appear so. But Narad Muni here is stating, actually no. There's a better system, Bhakti Yoga. How is that? Because in Bhakti Yoga you're singing and you're dancing and you're eating nice food. Then where is the control of the senses? Whereas in Hatha Yoga, you're sitting in a cave, and you're meditating, and even you see the ants might be crawling all over you, and you just have to sit. And very abstemious in taking food, maybe just hardly eating. Generally we think yogi very thin, not eating, not sleeping. Although Prabhupada used to say that I've seen so many yogis in meditation snoring. So, not very effective. But actually, if you do, then there's no snoring. The way they sit, first of all, you practice before dhyana. First of all, they have to practice following these rules and regulations. Then how to sit properly, how to breathe in such a way that you won't fall asleep. Pranayama, you'll get so much prana in your system that you. Practically, you don't have to eat or sleep. You get your nourishment from the air. So such an extreme system of self-realization. But, Narad Muni says, it's not actually as effective as Bhakti Yoga. Because Bhakti Yoga, that, the very meaning of that, Bhakti, what is that? That, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. The very meaning of bhakti is to engage the senses in the master of the service of the master of the senses. So by force trying to control the senses, that won't be effective, because Vishyavi Nivartante Niraharasya Dehinaha Rasavajan Visopyasya Pandishva Nivartate. One way you can forcefully stop engaging the senses in the interacting with the sense objects. But still, the desire remains. But if one can get a higher taste in Krishna consciousness, then the lower desire goes away. So that's why Krishna bhakti, even though it appears to be one kind of sense enjoyment, actually it is sense enjoyment. But it's totally different to materialistic sense enjoyment. We can't say that devotees, we can't say we're not enjoying the senses. To not enjoy the senses, that is the process of the yogis or mayavadis. They want to stop the senses. But devotees do experience sense enjoyment, but in a completely different way. Instead of trying to enjoy the senses for themselves, they engage the senses in the service of Krishna. And then when he is satisfied by our activities, then we also feel satisfaction. Just like when we hear kirtan,
nice, when we engage in kirtan nicely sung, then we enjoy that, but we enjoy it because it's for the pleasure of Krishna. It may be sometimes you see people that are very expert in singing, but actually then you may not enjoy that very much because it's not done for the pleasure of Krishna. Just like professional singers, they may be very expert. We have in ISKCON some in India, many devotees who they sing in professional style, but that may not be very pleasing to Krishna. If someone's simply trying to show how nice my voice is, or what a wonderful singer I am, that may not be very pleasing to Krishna. Of course, it doesn't mean that devotees should deliberately play out of time or out of tune. Or actually, here in this area, the devotees here could use a little, maybe become a little bit more musically adept, because after all, kirtan is for the pleasure of Krishna. So things like playing kartals in time and things like that. If it's out of time, then it sounds terrible. Those who are playing out of time, they can't hear it. If they could hear it, they wouldn't do it. So you have to play in time. There are various things. Generally, everyone wants to go fast all the time. I noticed in ISKCON, generally, our kirtan goes at two different speeds, either fast or very fast. But actually, if you hear Prabhupada, his kirtan, you start off very slow, then gradually get faster. Not that you start off samsara dhavana lalita loka, and then by the end it's it's not supposed to be like that. Start off slow and sweet, and then gradually increase the tempo. So these things can be learned for the pleasure of Krishna. Everything should be done for the pleasure of Krishna, who is the supreme enjoyer. It's actually a very simple point to understand. He is the supreme enjoyer. Let me do everything for his pleasure. And actually Krishna, he's not very pleased by the endeavors of the yogis. You can go and sit in a cave and be very austere, but it doesn't please Krishna particularly, because there's no endeavor to satisfy him in them. But if someone who is, they may appear to be not very spiritually advanced, but if they offer Krishna a flower, please, here's, oh, very nice flower, let us offer it to Krishna. Such a person with such an attitude, they're already far, far more advanced than the yogi sitting in the cave. Because there's the attitude, let me try to please Krishna. So even if that person is not controlling the senses in the same way as the yogi, he's actually making advancement because pleasing Krishna. So devotees, it's not that they should say, oh, okay, all right, then. You won't bother to try to control the senses. There has to be some endeavor also. We don't totally reject the endeavor to control the senses. We say, yes, we should. The real process is to engage the senses at the service of the master of the senses. But at the same time, because our consciousness is polluted, and we're always thinking how to engage the senses in the service of myself, how I will enjoy. Therefore, a devotee has to adopt some negative process also. Not gross or extreme, but things like leading a regulated life. For instance, we don't go to the ice cream parlor and they say, well, it's vegetarian. And, you know, it's milk products. Krishna likes milk products. So let's go to the ice cream parlor. And when we go inside, we will mentally offer everything, so it will all become prasad. But we're not doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. We're going because of desire to satisfy the tongue. Jiva lala se jay iti yuti dhai. What is that? Shishno da parayan, Krishna nahi pai. Jiva lala se. In Hindi, that word got changed to lalach. And greed to. For the tongue. Ah, let me enjoy. Those who go here and there to enjoy the pleasure of the tongue, they become attached not only to the tongue, but tongue, Shishnoda. They become not only the tongue, but jiva, udar, pet, that means the stomach, and the next thing is genital. So like I was saying, all the things go together. You can't think that, well, I'll be a strict brahmachari and I'll eat whatever I like. I'll control other senses, but I won't control. It doesn't happen. If we indulge in one kind of sense gratification, in all kinds of sense gratification we'll indulge in. So, yeah. So that if that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Shishnodo Parayan Krishna Hipai, that we become just because of the tongue, if we want to indulge the tongue, then all of our senses become out of control and we don't get Krishna. So we lead a regulated life. That means we take prasada. And the devotees can also, there's no rule that devotees should only take dried leaves off the ground. Anyway, Krishna can eat dried leaves. He made them, certain kinds of dried leaves. But we offer nice food to Krishna. We take what we need. Also, even in taking prasada, if we take it only for our own sense enjoyment, then that also becomes, we don't get the same transcendental benefit. But one should take prasada thinking, let me honor this. This is Krishna's prasada. Let me honor this and get strength so that I can go on serving Krishna. So in this way, a devotee, like that, so many things. Take prasad means you don't go to the ice cream bar. Maybe you might go to sell some books, that's all. Otherwise, we don't go for our own sense gratification. So in this way, a devotee, I don't watch cinema, TV, what? Because there's nothing there to please Krishna. It's not connected with Krishna. There's nothing there for my advancement in Krishna consciousness. So I have time, then read Srimad Bhagavatam, like this. So in this way, a devotee controls his senses by engaging in Krishna consciousness and disengaging or not engaging in sense gratification. So some control has to be there, but that comes in the Krishna consciousness process. So Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this? Senses are said to be transcendental. Well, yes, the senses are transcendental, the soul is transcendental, but at the moment we're in a different consciousness. So now our senses are covered by material desires. So ultimately the senses, that's called antakara, the internal senses, and ultimately that's supposed to be transcendental. But now, now we're in the material body, so our knowledge is covered, our transcendental knowledge is covered by lust. So the senses are acting as if non-transcendental.
Comment on, like yesterday,
we are told that these people should be chopped.
They should do
four
themselves
as part. I didn't say chopped, I said
short. Short, they should be short.
They were few,
people questioning me. Even they can see it as a brother. They were totally, how could he say that? So, like, then, like, 11:30, they were questioning me. Finally, they understood. They said, Mangalore stopped business, man. Many of them, like, they were going there. And
where?
Going
where?
The culture of the,
ah.
The, they are weekend, huge, your bhajans and dance and everything. It's like a stress relief.
No.